From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, June 28th. Coming up, some Midwest ethanol plants are part of big plans to capture and store the carbon dioxide they release when ethanol is made. We'll learn more from Harvest Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Cleanup continues after a portion of a historic building in Champaign collapsed over the weekend. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick reports.
On Saturday, just before 6 p.m., firefighters arrived at 63 Chester Street. Bricks and debris covered the street, sidewalks, and a car. Randy Smith is the public information officer with the Champaign Fire Department.
No information yet as to what may have caused it. Right now we know there are no injuries.
The collapse was reported after a severe thunderstorm came through Champaign with heavy winds and rain. The building on Chester Street had been vacant since 2017. It once housed a live music venue and an LGBTQ nightclub. Reginald Hardwick, Illinois Newsroom.
The General Assembly this spring approved a measure that would allow pharmacists to hand out hormonal birth control to a patient who has not seen a doctor. Garth Reynolds, executive director of the Illinois Pharmacists Association, says he expects most of his members will take that option.
It's important because pharmacists are the most accessible healthcare providers in our communities. And I think the COVID pandemic really put a spotlight on that pharmacists are available to assist.
The legislation includes an exception for pharmacists who have religious or moral objections to birth control, so they cannot be required to distribute contraceptives. 16 states and the District of Columbia have laws giving pharmacists the ability to dispense hormonal contraception, including pills, the transdermal patch, or the vaginal ring. Other methods, such as an IUD, would require a visit to a medical practitioner. New research from the University of Illinois explores why it can often take years for new medical guidelines to be adopted. Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman reports.
Eunice Santos is dean of the U of I School of Information Sciences. She led a team in developing a computational model for analyzing medical decision-making with type 2 diabetes. When new guidelines for diabetes treatment were established nearly a decade ago, they still hadn't been adopted years later. To understand why, Santos says it was important to consider the many social, cultural, and behavioral factors at play.
Understanding and representing even a little bit of culture goes a long way in being able to model what's going on.
The model looks at social networks and cultural influences and captures how beliefs change over time due to personal and external factors. Santos says the model could help policymakers by allowing them to predict how successful a dissemination strategy will be and make changes that could lead to more widespread adoption of new medical guidelines. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
University of Illinois alum Alex Diab will represent Team USA at the Tokyo Olympics as an alternate for the men's gymnastics team. The native of Glen Ellen placed first in the still rings, an event where he was a back-to-back national champion in college. Diab was a six-time NCAA All-American and the school record holder with 31 career still rings titles. He will now train and travel with the team, ready to step in if another Olympian is injured. The Summer Olympic Games in Tokyo start on July 23rd. Gymnastics qualifying begins on July 25th. Still to come, we'll learn how the ethanol industry is working to be a bigger player in helping slow climate change. That story from Harvest Public Media's Katie Pikus is next on 217 Today.
Food is at the center of our lives here in Illinois. All of us eat it, many of us grow it, some of us might be struggling to afford it. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom's agriculture reporter. I'm working to tell the stories that affect us all, from the food supply chain to food insecurity. Listen for my reports on AM 580 and FM 90.9, and look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Biden administration plans to significantly cut greenhouse gas emissions over the next decade. Renewable fuels are part of the plan, but some researchers say ethanol does not help that much. As Harvest Public Media's Katie Pikus reports, the ethanol industry says steps it's taking could make it more of a player in slowing climate change.
Millions of Americans fill their car up with gas like I am today. I'm filling it up with gasoline that has 10% ethanol, but the Biden administration has proposed a lot of money for electric vehicles and charging stations.
And so ethanol doesn't have a big role to play.
Jonathan Lewis is senior counsel of the nonprofit Clean Air Task Force. He says the expansion of corn to meet the demands of food, feed, and transportation markets converts more land into farmland.
And as you turn that land over, you release soil carbon from the ground where it's not impacting climate into the atmosphere where it is, where it's contributing to climate change.
The ethanol industry has long been at odds with some climate groups and activists over how good their fuel is for the environment. Ethanol is made from corn, which naturally pulls carbon dioxide from the air. But when it's produced and burned, it releases CO2 and small amounts of two other greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Jason Hill is a biosystems engineer at the University of Minnesota.
When you look at the full life cycle of production and use of ethanol compared to gasoline, it has not been shown that corn ethanol actually reduces greenhouse gas emissions.
Hill says that's because greenhouse gases are also released growing corn and distributing ethanol, not just during fermentation. The science surrounding ethanol's emissions and how much better it is than gasoline is tricky and often debated. But some say that could be changing. Todd Becker is the CEO of Green Plains Incorporated. The biofuels company has 8 ethanol plants that are part of a big project to capture the carbon dioxide released when ethanol is made.
We're being pushed from all sides. The consumer wants lower carbon. The companies we do business with want lower carbon. Our investors want us to lower carbon, our carbon footprint.
The project involves 30 ethanol plants in Nebraska, Iowa, and 3 other states. They would capture carbon dioxide off of fermentation before the greenhouse gas is released into the air. They'll pipe it to North Dakota to be stored permanently underground. Becker calls it a game changer for the U.S. ethanol industry.
This is the precursor to, I think, greater acceptance of the products that we make, whether it's in our fuel, like ethanol that we make, or in our proteins, like high-value proteins.
Robert Brown heads Iowa State University's Bioeconomy Institute. He says carbon capture could be key to changing perceptions about the ethanol industry.
I think we're at a real interesting cusp in technology.
Brown says capturing that carbon dioxide and storing it underground puts ethanol on the path to becoming what's called carbon negative energy. So it's taking more carbon out of the atmosphere than it's putting in. He says that can make ethanol better than electric vehicles.
So anything the ethanol industry can do to reduce that footprint, the better, the more attractive they will be as a sustainable source of energy.
The Clean Air Task Force supports carbon capture tech, but Jonathan Lewis says he doesn't think corn ethanol can get all of the carbon dioxide out of transportation.
We're going to need to shift to other fuels and other systems, mainly hydrogen and electricity.
Todd Becker of Green Plains says he doesn't fear electric vehicles cutting into the demand for ethanol anytime soon. And he says Green Plains will continue to work on lowering its carbon footprint.
And I'm confident that this will be the time going forward that somebody will understand the importance of ethanol production, not only to the U.S. agricultural economy, but to the emissions that come out of the tailpipe of our vehicles.
Becker says ethanol still has a role to play as a solution to climate change. But the question is, how big a role? Katie Pikus, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a chance of a shower or thunderstorm and a high of 88 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Carolina Garibay. Reporting today contributed by Reginald Hardwick, Maureen McKinney, Christine Herman, and Katie Pikus. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.